I wish I were some good at this,
said Johnny.
But laddie,
said Donaldine,
I think you're a plain wizard. I fell in the mine shaft about 2 hours ago and haven't been heard of since.
These are atomic numbers. An atom is supposedly composed of a core with energy particles in it, some of them positively charged, some of them not charged at all. The number of positively charged particles is what they call the atomic number, and these particles, together with the uncharged particles, make up the atomic weight. Also, around the core are negatively charged particles that circle the core in what they call rings, or shells, but they're not. They're more like envelopes. Anyway, the core and the negatively charged particles around it gives one the different elements. That's about all there is to a periodic table, to oversimplify it. But ancient man here on Earth constructed his tables on oxygen and carbon, I think because those were important to him. He is a carbon-oxygen engine, but a cyclo has a different metabolism and burns different elements for energy, so the cyclo table is different. Also, cyclos had a lot more universes to work in, and they had metals and gases Earth's old scientists never heard of. The ancients here on Earth also omitted distance of spacing between the core and the ring, and between ring and ring as a variable. So they didn't realize that one core and one ring at one spacing could be quite something else when the spacing changed. Got it?
Laddie,
said Donaldine,
that thump you just heard was me hitting the bottom of the shaft.
Don't be lonely down there. I hit it every time I get tangled up in this. But the point is, what is he up to? This is not a transshipment rig component.
They looked at other discs. Turl considered metal like a man would consider paper, easily worked with. He had bullied Lars into getting him a sheet of a beryllium alloy, and it almost hurt their ears when Lars couldn't find it anywhere in the compound, and Turl told him the blank stuff was what they used for panel metal in vehicles and to go down to the blank garages and get into that blank Zitz repair supplies and get him a blank sheet of the stuff. Lars trotted back shortly, his panting clear on the disc sonic, bringing a sheet of beryllium alloy that rumbled as it was waved about. Turl kicked him out and locked the door. They did a quick analysis of the metal, and even Donaldine had no trouble with the traces. It was beryllium, copper, and nickel, sort of rough, for it had not been polished. On the disc, Turl took some shears and cut expertly. Then he folded some edges. He annealed the edges shut by molecular bind. Then he had a top which fit very well. He put a little knob on the top for lifting it. Then he cut a hole in the bottom of the box and made a screw-in access plate. He had begun to laugh, so it was easy to divine that this was something quite nasty. It was a pretty box when he finished. He polished it up and buffed it, and it looked like jewelry, a gold color. Pretty. It was hexagonal, each one of the six sides and corners geometrically precise. Quite a work of art. The top came off easily. The bottom hole access plate was left unscrewed. It was about a foot across and about 5 inches high. The next day, he went to work on the inside. He made some very precisely hinged rods, quite intricate. He fitted them into the box and tested them. There was a hinged rod in each of the six corners, and it was fastened to the lid. When you raised the lid, these rods pushed sockets, empty as yet, to the center of the box. He tested it several times and laughed louder as he gazed up into it from the access hole in the bottom. The cover came off very smoothly. Each of the six rods pushed an empty socket to the center.